You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Score!
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi, Harris, and Grody may change at any time.
It's just sports.
Okay, thanks, bye!
Rahimi, Harris, and Grody. 10 to 2. On 670 The...
Ladies and gentlemen, I present... Bears enemy number one, I think it's Keyshawn Nixon.
I didn't want nobody else. I want the Bears. I just, you know, however it felt, it was going to fall. If you had to go to Philly, it was going to Philly. But I'd rather play the Bears first. I need to get back. That's just what it is.
The game has been in Keyshawn Nixon's hands. Intercepts Caleb Williams to end the game. Then there's the game where DJ Moore and Keyshawn Nixon are battling in the end zone. And in overtime, DJ Moore makes the catch. I don't know how you don't look at that guy after knowing that the matchup seems to come down to him. Either the Bears are keying in on him or he's keying in on them. He's Bears enemy number one.
Jim is my enemy, but it turns out that Jim is also his own worst enemy. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So Jim is actually my friend. But because he is his own worst enemy, the enemy of my friend is my enemy. So actually, Jim is my enemy.
There's no argument over here. He's clearly elevated himself, and he's grabbed that title, that bull by the horn, said, we're going to ride this throughout the end of the season, and the end of the season could be this week for him. I love a lot of animosity between teams when it comes to sports. And I think not only through his actions, but now he's out here adding insult to injury, or at least trying to. I like that he's embraced it, and now he has a bullseye on him. I'm very comfortable with that.
You know what it's worth? It's not what you think. It's not a golden ticket. It's a target on your back.
I think it might come down to him yet again, or at least whatever matchup, wherever he is on the field, that might be something the Bears try to take advantage of and use to their advantage.
Layla, clearly he wants it to come down to him. That's the last time he was on the field with the Bears. He wants another shot to have a moment like he's had in each of the last two games to be the difference maker one way or another.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Score. The
Score. Happy Mark Grody birthday. Happy playoff Friday. Happy football Friday to you. It's one of those days, and we are happy to have it. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And not only are we celebrating Mark Grody's birthday, only are we celebrating having the cheese grater foam party hat in the office, but I think we should take a moment to appreciate the fact that this is a playoff Friday. Let us rejoice and be glad.
It's here, Layla.
It is. And we don't get these. It's also technically a Four Seasons air conditioning, plumbing, and electric football Friday presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and Chicago Roofing Contractors.org. But most importantly, we are here on this day, the 9th of January, talking about a home Bears playoff game against their most hated rival.
As the excitement, as the anxiety flows through your body, understand that this is something you should be grateful for, to feel the way you feel, no matter if it's super confident, if it's, I don't know, if it's, man, we ain't got a shot tomorrow. Whatever it is, just be happy to be in this position before the game actually takes place. Because once the game takes place, that's its own entity, right? But we're still in this preparation mode, and I kind of love it.
Our hour is sponsored by AlmostFreeTeeth.com, affordable implants, life-changing smiles.
By the way, real quick correction on my part, if I may, in regards to my birthday. My birthday is actually tomorrow. I just realized that. It's not today. No, I'm kidding. My birthday is today. I said...
You're about to get smacked in the studio.
When this cake arrived from... Thank you to Mitch Rosen and to all of you for the wonderful celebration during transition. I had said that this is the first time that I've gotten a cake awarded to me here at the Score, I was quickly reminded by our director of marketing, Ashley Fields, that I did want, and she sent even sent me the picture from
of
years ago of a cake that I received at the Score years and years ago. And specifically, it was my last day working on the Mully, and I guess it was Hanley show back then, the Mully and Hanley morning show, where I did updates because I was leaving to go do the Cubs gig. So I had received a cake that day. So I just wanted to clarify for all the cake people out there.
So basically, all I understand is the tradition is you always say nobody gets you gifts or cakes, and yet you have been given all of these
You're
things.
Onto my scam.
Documented.
It's my scam.
There's a picture.
Yeah. Hold on. Yeah. What about something else? Yes, Ray?
The best part about this cake that Mitch Rosen got for you, besides the candles that are 8 and 5 for 1985, my friend,
there's no other way.
At the center of that cake is indeed some Bear Glove deodorant.
What?
No.
You gotta eat through the slices to find it.
No, you're joking, right?
Okay. Of course he's joking.
I don't know. That would be hilarious if there was some Bear Glove Old Spice in my cake.
So is your birthday wish when you blew out those candles? I know you can't tell me, but just give me a signal if it was Bears win against the Packers.
No, it was a year's supply of Bear Glove that I was actually hoping for. I'll deal with the Bears on my own time.
Old Spice,
you know what
is
I mean?
Reasonably priced. This is a pretty lame wish.
It's
the Bears beating the Packers to knock them out of the playoffs and to possibly get Matt LaFleur fired.
God.
That is priceless, Grody.
Do you really think that LaFleur would get canned if you do?
5 straight L's? Yeah, depending on how it goes specifically, yes.
That's the problem here is that emotion can't be quantified by a lot of people who are in charge. So even though he is a good coach, John Harbaugh is available, and I know that Packers ownership is the people, but I do think that there is a chance that that could take place. Now, how likely it is, I don't necessarily know, because John Harbaugh is really more the game changer in this. A la when Craig Counsell was available, then I think LaFleur's job status. But what's really on the line here is not just that. It's the fact that the Bears have a chance to win their first playoff game in 15 years.
That's crazy.
And that's unacceptable that it's been that long. And I laugh because the Twitch mob, you can check us out on twitch.tv/Chicago670, the Score said, "Happy first Bears playoff Friday, Layla." And I was like, actually, I had one in the 2020 season. But it just wasn't the same.
I bet you don't even remember it.
Because it didn't matter.
Exactly.
And Dan and I probably made fart jokes, and we had a feeling that... No, you know what it was? We talked about the danger of CeeDee Gardner-Johnson.
That's like, stay away from him. Don't be tempted by his
Remember
demon
the sound
fruits.
And Matt Nagy being like, you know, avoid him.
Hey,
and we
Anthony
had
Miller.
Meetings in the locker room.
Anthony Miller and Javon Wims, we're going to need to have a little chat with you. Oh, they both induced penalties. They both got penalties.
Well, Javon Wims didn't just induce a penalty. He's
been out there punching, man.
Yeah. Listen.
You can't do that seventh-round pick.
So that is not an issue this time. So we have that going for us, which is nice.
Well, here's my question. Back then, going into the game, did you feel like there's no way they were going to win the game? Is that what you're saying?
You talking about 2020?
Yeah.
I don't think that necessarily. Probably that. They were .500 that year. So they backdoored into the playoffs. They didn't feel like that was one time where I think fans and media and everybody who observed the Bears was on the same page. Usually we're not on the same page. People, you know, usually there'd be people, hey, it's the playoffs. I don't think anybody really felt good about the Bears even being in the playoffs in the year 2020 to the point where many people forget that they were in the playoffs in 2020.
To call it the gas leak year and say it didn't even happen, but technically it did.
That team won 3 of its last 4, if I remember correctly. This team's lost 3 of its last 5, if I'm looking at things correctly, right?
I mean, you can definitely link that, but it's a different...
The eye test was completely different that year.
Yeah.
At that point, we knew what we had with Mitch Trubisky. We knew what we had with Matt Nagy. And
no longer trending up.
Right. And the issue was too, it was an expanded playoff, wasn't it? Was that the deal?
I think it was.
So it was more of a, because 500 even in that NFC wasn't going to get you there. So it was a means to an end.
Right. Cole Kmet's been hilarious about it because it's sort of like, hey, this doesn't, it's his first year in the league, right? Growing up rooting for the Bears, they go to the playoffs and he's like, man, nobody cares about this. Nobody, you know, nobody remembers that we went to the playoffs. I think he deep down inside, he gets it. But everything has changed. This is legitimate in terms of the Bears getting to the playoffs. We all know that. We know the flaws that have existed to getting here. But I do think it's incredibly. So this is the part where I look at it as you got to get greedy and don't look at the end of this season as just everything is just gravy. And you're like, even if you, yes, it is true. If you lose the game, there will be many things we can look back on and speak about positively. And maybe even that positive energy will run into next year. And this is truly the start of the Bears making a run. But it's really important, though, that they get a win here. I mean, it really is for myriad reasons, not the least of which is what Layla just said, that they haven't won a playoff game since back in 2010 season.
I mean, that's it. Yeah. Like, the bar kept changing with what convinced you that this was a progress-filled season.
Yes, yes.
First, for me, it was simply, you got the new head coach. We saw demonstrative improvement out of Caleb Williams and the offense. That was the goal for me going into it. Then we saw how they were turning games that they shouldn't win into games that they were winning. Then it became, who are you going to beat to show that this is for real? That was the Philadelphia game for many people on the road. Then it became, well, what games are you going to win after that? Then it became, what seed are you going to control? Mm-hmm. And now it is, can you win a playoff game for the first time in 15 years?
That's the question, right? And all week I've been asking Mark Grody whether he's been here or Hal Hall to send me like a loving text or a voice note, anything, be like, this is why the Bears are going to win this Saturday. Still waiting on that, by the way, Grody. It's Friday.
Well, what time are we doing picks today? 1:45?
1:45 we'll do picks.
We'll see. We'll see if that gets given away before then. But I'll see what I have for you at 1:45.
But here's what I've come up with, Layla. It's just the understanding that these are two very evenly matched teams, even though the Packers are way more hurt than the Bears after we've seen the most recent injury reports. And home field advantage should make a difference. And still, even though I'm trying to spin my wheels, if you will, I'm not coming up on something positive,
but
I guess.
Before I think we get to prediction time, we have to talk about the meaning of this game. And I don't always like doing the how big is this game thing. I think it's a basic angle. But today it is not. Today it is absolutely about the gravity of what is tomorrow, the significance of the fact that they can win this game, the importance of the fact that they are the two seed, and that, you know, that unlike the last time this team was in the playoffs, this is a team that is trending upward. Your eye test matches your confidence, which frankly also matches your hope. And that's something that should be celebrated today.
Do you feel celebratory, Mr. Birthday Boy?
I feel like it's been a grind of a week, and like I just sort of resurfaced from it, and like I have presence of mind now. It's like, oh my God, it's tomorrow, because it just feels like it's been forever, and we're all working our butts off, you know, previewing this game, doing what we have to do to get to set, and it's here. So I feel, honestly, the feeling that I have right now about is like a little bit of relief that
calm
the game,
before the storm,
a little calm before the storm, that the game is finally here. And quite frankly, and I talked about this the last time the Bears and Packers played on a Saturday, and I cannot wait to wake up tomorrow and just feel this city and to walk out of my place and to see Bears fan. Like, it's one of my favorite things on any Sunday home game, because I live in an area where, in the South Loop, where Bears fans are making their way. Like, I can't wait to see what the demeanor is. And I'll do a video tomorrow on my walk to the actual game to get the feel for it. But I love, like, I get goosebumps thinking about like the civic pride and what it means to people and the focus, and even the Green Bay Packers fans that I will see in town. Like, it just makes for this beautiful painting of Chicago that will occur tomorrow.
Well, you know,
think about even last year, where last year, before the Lions game that was here, how much Honolulu blue you saw walking around on Sunday downtown before that game. And I believe that was a later game. I want to say it was like an afternoon game. And as early as like 7 in the morning, you were seeing everybody decked out in Lions gear. And the place seemed taken over by people in Lions gear. You know, we talk about this year, like the Packers fans, for example, just being able to, you know, wear their gear at all times. And then for the first time in a long time, we're talking to people across the country about Bears fans being able to wear their gear to the gym and be proud of it. And if you live in another city and not in the Chicagoland area, you're able to wear your Bears sweatshirt to the gym with pride today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I don't normally get into the feelings aspect of it all, but I feel like today is the day to do so.
No, and I think it's been building all week, to be honest. Like, just my casual conversations with people, whether it's been at the gym or just walking down the street and like somebody will say something and, you know, me, I'm nosy. So I'll be like, oh, what do you think?
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like there's a level of optimism that I don't know when the last time this city was this optimistic heading into an NFL postseason.
Yeah, I think Bears fans are nervous, but there's not a whole lot of Bears fans that I've spoken to, many of whom are my friends, that think the Bears are going to lose the game. You know what I mean? As nervous as they are, they are looking for every way, shape, or form. And for better or for worse, I think a lot of Bears fans are depending on two things, the home field and magic and a little luck.
Iceman.
And a little Iceman.
Little Iceman,
which I guess you don't call that luck. I mean, that's a real skill that Caleb Williams has. But unfortunately, the way that this Bears season has gone, the Bears have been dependent upon fortunate moments. You know, do you say lucky? Do you say fortunate?
I say opportunistic.
Opportunistic is a good word, too. And again, we talked about it all year long. That's a dangerous way to live on offense, and we know the problems on defense. So if the Bears are going to win the game, they're going to need one of those moments. I don't think they can win this game just on their own merits. You know what I mean? Like, as it, like, just pound for pound as a team, you're going to need some of that magic. And guess what? They've had that magic, so it's not a far cry to think that they could get more of that tomorrow.
Yeah, I saw some. So I usually will catch up on YouTube, and I'll watch Ben Johnson, and I'll watch the rest of the Bears players who talk on the Bears YouTube page. And then I'll also like check out if there's a segment I want to go back and listen to. For us, sometimes I go to our YouTube channel, 670 The Score on YouTube.
Bears.
And somebody had the comment, and it was hilarious. It was like, hey, tell Caleb Williams that in the playoffs, every drive is in the fourth quarter.
Right. Right. Like, if he feels, I mean, that's a real thing. Like, if he feels that, Layla, and he might, maybe from the beginning, he will have that itch. He will have that urgency. He will have that desperate feel because every moment counts. Every ball that he puts on a running back's chest is going to count. Every sideline throw to Colston Loveland is going to count. Every throw down the middle to Luther Burden is going to count in this one. When guys are left open, it all matters. So, Layla, I know that you're kind of saying that with a wink, but I wonder if the mentality changes for Caleb because of the bright lights, big city, the whole thing.
You need it to, though. That's the thing. You need him to approach this playoff game as if the fourth quarter is the whole game, because
right,
this is do or die, win or go home. I mean, no one's going to, you know, die from losing the game, but what I'm saying is Matt LaFleur's time in Green Bay could be over. I think the Packers have more desperation, if you will, coming into this game because they've lost four in a row,
yeah,
and their coaching staff is in question compared to what the Bears have, which is no matter whether they win or lose, the season as a whole, it's a success. Undeniable success.
If the flower gets canned, as Molly calls him, the flower, that is the actual translation
of
LaFleur. His name. Yeah, LaFleur.
En français.
Don't you think that he would also simultaneously become the top candidate for another team?
Yeah, see, that's like the problem with Mike McDaniel becoming, you know, available, is I'm like, oh no. Is he going to go to Detroit and be the offensive coordinator?
Right, right. Because he's not going to, he probably won't get a head coaching job right away. You're right. OC sounds right for
him.
Well,
I think John Harbaugh probably is still
top dog. But it is ironic.
Super Bowl wins.
That the flower, if he gets fired, all of a sudden he's going to find out how desired he is by other franchises. Just behind, as Layla said, John Harbaugh.
And the other thing is there could be more coaching mix-ups. I mean, what if Mike Tomlin does decide to walk away?
There's another one, right? And who? Which one of these guys? Somebody's got to go to the media desk. You know, somebody always does the media thing for a year.
I think it would be Tomlin, honestly.
You think Tomlin would do that? Go join Bill Cowher at CBS?
I love that we're firing coaches who haven't been in the playoff game yet. Like, I love, like, we're like, Mike Tomlin, you have a playoff game. Bah! TV for you.
sports talk radio,
but be honest,
I tell you.
20-year career in the league. One of the most successful tenures of any modern head coach. We're like, bah, TV.
Isn't that the hope, though, is that Matt LaFleur gets fired? That means something went really wrong if Matt LaFleur gets fired.
You're right.
Or really right for the Bears. I will say this, by the way. This news came across, and since we're talking about it, it's worth noting. This is from Diana Russini today, about an hour ago, and she's with The Athletic. It's widely believed that around the NFL, Matt Ryan will indeed become the Falcons' new president of football.
Wow.
Ryan and Chicago Bears GM Ryan Poles are very close friends, dating back to their playing days at BC. I'm told Poles has been helping Ryan on the entire hiring process.
Does that mean shifting a certain assistant general manager his way to get some compensatory draft picks?
Oh, would that be at that point? Not that the NFL cares about conflict of interest, Tom Brady, but would that be a bridge too far in that department?
No, absolutely not.
I mean, for us here, no, because you want the picks, but...
No, I'm saying, like, based on what you just said about the Tom Brady thing, I don't think that's the only example. There's plenty of examples of, I don't know if that should be a thing that people are doing.
Yeah, the entire players union setup, for example. But I do wonder about that. So that is the latest news from Diana Russini. Do I think that it distracts Ryan Poles from the task at hand? No, I don't. I think he can probably do both and be fine.
Yeah, I don't think he's doing a whole lot right now. Anyway, I mean, he's getting ready for the draft and everything else. But like, as far as week to week, it's not as stressful right this second. I think he's kind of glowing a little bit, right?
He should be. Help your friends. So go on, Ryan Poles. Help Matt Ryan become the GM in Atlanta. Grody with a smug smile over here.
Sorry, I'm just like, it's since it's my birthday, I'm getting all these nice text messages.
Text.
So I'm sorry. I was a little bit, as you were going to break, I was like, I'm going to check out a couple of these text messages. And there's just some really adorable messages. So,
see, that's the problem with working with Mark Grody. You never know if he's up to no good over
that's,
there.
That's true. So in this case, I'm not being devious or making trouble. I'm just smiling at
stirring
some of
the
cute little notes that I'm
so
getting.
So that's Mark Grody, our birthday boy. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Marshall Harris joining us as well, of course. Our producers today, Ray Diaz, Tyler Ferengul, and also Brandon Fryer does help us out. Mark, you asked that question last time. He does. He helps with audio and all sorts of things.
Baby T does?
Well, also Brandon Fryer.
Oh, Fryer.
Today.
I thought, yeah. I'm sorry.
Baby
where
T helps
he?
Us out always.
Where is Fryer? Is he back there? Oh, I don't see him. I thought
he gave us our pre-show pep talk. He also supplied me with a good list of audio for our pregame show tomorrow.
That's why he helps our show. You don't get to just say that all willy-nilly.
You're right. And his uncle, you guys know who his uncle is, right? You guys ready to have your minds blown? Common.
I'm sorry, what?
You heard me.
We've worked with him for how many years?
When did you know this?
I only found this out like a few weeks ago. I don't remember. You guys were off. And I had heard that, and I was like, it blew my like.
That should
no,
go straight
no,
to the
no
group
joking
thread.
Around. Like, not like I just call him my uncle. It's his uncle.
That should go straight to the group thread when you get information like that, just for future reference.
I kind of thought I was the only one who didn't know, but I think
none of us knew.
Common. I mean,
well, we love Brandon Fryer regardless of who his family is.
No, he was way cool before I knew that. Like, one of my favorite people here.
Seriously.
The Fry guy. He's the best.
Also, you can give us a shout out on Twitch, twitch.tv, /Chicago670thescore. Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis help us out there. And as I mentioned, you can text and call us, 312-644-6767, as we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Let's go back behind that cheddar curtain and catch up with a friend of the show, Mason Crosby. So we'll check out what the former Packers kicker is looking at for the big game tomorrow. It's next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen to Raheemy Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
The fake, Williams, looking downfield, watching downfield.
Throw for Caleb Williams. He knew it when he let it go.
Yeah, we know what that is. That's courtesy of Fox Sports. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. And now we go to our Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. CircaLasVegas.com. And that is where we go behind enemy lines, as they like to say. He's been on our show before. A lot of fun when he is. Mason Crosby, the Packers kicker from 2007 to 2022. He's the all-time leading scorer for the team. Super Bowl champion, and he's at Crosby Kicks 2 on Twitter. Hosts the Mason Crosby Show weekdays noon to 2 on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. Mason, thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Big week, third time there in this rivalry. I mean, how are Bears fans feeling? That's my big question. I mean, there's got to be a lot of excitement, but a little tension, you know, worrying about such a big moment there in Soldier Field.
I think it's very funny that a lot of the concerns that Bears fans have are the same concerns that Packers fans have. The injury concerns probably go more on the Green Bay side, but worries about the defensive pass rush, for example, worries about offensive consistency. So it's been similar, the discussions that have been had, I think, on either side.
I know. This rivalry is so special. To be able to play a playoff game that has not happened a lot in this rivalry. I remember the last time went a little bit better for the Packers than the Bears on our way to the Super Bowl there in 2010. But there couldn't be more drama, more storylines, like a better moment in Wild Card Weekend than this rivalry happening on Saturday night. I cannot wait to sit down and watch. Lock into this thing and just see the drama unfold.
Mason, do you have the Packers winning? And if so, I'm really curious as to why.
You know, I did pick the Packers yesterday. My other two co-hosts picked the Bears, which was painful. I think this really is going to be one of those games like the first two were, where it can be anyone's game. Whoever has the ball last, however this thing unfolds, it's going to be tight. It's going to be chippy. There's going to be moments where you think one team has control and then the momentum's going to shift just like it did in those first two. And I think it's going to be tight. I picked the Packers to win 23-20 in a tight game where either Bears have a chance to tie it late or the Packers kick a field goal to win it. One or the other. Unfortunately, y'all remember the situation that happened there in the last playoff game that the Bears hosted, and I know y'all are hoping that doesn't happen again here in this one.
Wow. All right, Mason, you've brought up 2011 now.
I'm throwing fire. Look, bringing it today.
I got to tell you right now, there's a few. Look, Caleb Haney is not going to be out there circa 2011. Cody Parkey, I don't know where Cody Parkey is right now. So thank you for going through with a lot of skill, going through those horrible, horrible losses for the Bears against the Packers.
Brought the pain.
You
just
did, man. But you didn't do it like in a nasty. It was very skillful the way you did it. But trust me, as somebody who has felt that trauma and was at both of those games, one as a fan and one on the sidelines, I feel that kind of stuff. It's never going to get past me. But I will say this. You kind of alluded to it, and I said this, I think it was the going into the Saturday night game, the last time these two teams played. It's about as evenly matched up between these two teams as I've seen in years, and it is because of some of the big injuries, especially if Micah Parsons is playing, we're probably talking about this game a little bit differently. In fact, I know we would be talking about it differently. Why wouldn't we be? But it's about as evenly matched up as it's been in a long time. The difference being quarterback and coach Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love have the experience. How much does that go towards playoff success, and how's Jordan Love doing?
Yeah, you know, obviously Jordan Love not playing the last couple games, getting knocked out against the Bears. You know, his body has to be the best it's been all season. I mean, physically, to be able to take that time, not take the hits in games, physically he has to be good. He's cleared protocol. Mentally should be sharp, but you know, he's got to get out there and kind of get his legs back under him and get the feel of a game. I think that Chicago Bears defense is opportunistic, but they are susceptible to some big plays like the Packers were able to exploit in that first game there at Lambeau Field. Maybe not as much in that second game at Soldier Field, but I wouldn't be surprised if LaFleur tries to open it up early and often with there with Jordan Love, just to kind of get his confidence back, get him back in the swing of things. They're going to be leaning heavy, though, on Josh Jacobs, trying to control that clock. I think this is going to be a possession game. Who has the ball last, and who can execute in those tight moments? Caleb Williams is all, on the other side, is kind of one of those exciting players where he's like a Brett Favre-esque. Some might say kind of almost, gunslinger like Jay Cutler, where he'll make some amazing things happen, and then you
Bear.
Uh-oh. Did we lose
I think
Mason?
What he was going to say, and then all of a sudden, if he's comping Jay Cutler, he'll then make an unnecessary throw into triple coverage, because that's what Jay Cutler would get you all excited about some of the throws he'd make, and then he'd be like, do something like, what are you doing? I guess that's Jordan Love, too.
Oh, yeah, I could see that. Or the back foot hop throw where he just lofts it up, and it's like 50-50 ball.
Oh, yeah.
And just pray, you know?
Oh, you're talking about Love or Cutler?
Love.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was very Cutler, too. Like, Cutler never did fix his mechanics, but he had such a strong arm that he could get away with it.
Bears are going to need some turnovers. And when I say turnovers, notice there's an S on the end of that word. Multiples.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, that's what I was talking about in the opening segment, that unfortunately, the Bears are reliant on that. They're reliant on a little bit of magic, maybe a little. What did you had a better word? I was trending towards. They are opportunistic. They are opportunistic in the turnovers they have gotten, occasionally on special teams. They need every bit of that tomorrow night.
And we have Mason back on the line now. Do you want to finish your thought?
Yeah, sorry. I don't know if y'all felt bad that I was talking about Jay Cutler and
you did it again.
Caleb Williams.
You did it again.
Just shut me off. Is that what happened?
That's not what happened.
You know, maybe
cut this guy off. No, but I think Caleb Williams has that competitive fire. Like we were talking on my show yesterday, that what are we worried about with Caleb Williams? Obviously his legs. The guy is so fast. He's just sneaky fast. Can do a lot on the ground there. And then he can just make those plays out of nowhere. You just got to hope maybe the Caleb Williams, from a Packers perspective, shows up that, tries to force some things, makes a few bad decisions, does something out of his, his comfort zone. And, the Packers are able to capitalize on. But Ben Johnson's got him kind of, dialed in, doing a good job of, stretching, trying to make big plays when the time calls for it, and not trying to go outside of himself. So this is going to be a fun one. I'm excited for this matchup. And again, like I said, it's a toss-up. I have the Packers picked to win, but it's going to be a close one, in my opinion.
We're talking to Mason Crosby, the former Packers kicker, the team's all-time leading scorer, and yeah, part of that team that faced the Bears the last time the Bears were able to win a playoff game, by the way. So that was fun 15 years ago. Mason, there's something. We talked a lot about Keyshawn Nixon yesterday just because he spoke in the Packers locker room. But somebody we haven't talked about as much is Trevon Diggs. And that was a savvy pickup for the Packers. He wanted to go to a team where he could be on a playoff contender. How do you think he factors in this game tomorrow?
I don't know, what the expectation is, if he's going to start or what his role is going to be. But, think about a guy that he got paid because he, gets his hands on the ball. He can take away the ball at a high rate, is a great corner in this league, can be a lockdown, shutdown corner, get guys on an island, and just be that player. He was on a really bad Cowboys defense. There was obviously some issues there, even off the field, that were going on. So I think the hope from a Packers perspective is he comes into a defense where everyone's roles are very clearly defined. You have a great defensive coordinator in Jeff Hafley that will just simplify the game back down for him and be like, hey, this is what we need you to do. Don't go outside of yourself. Don't do anything that we're not asking you to do. And then go and make plays whenever those plays become available. And, he had a good game in his limited reps against the Vikings. Just looked solid, looks like he's still moving well, doing those things. So I think there's high hopes, and if he goes and makes a play in this game, like, that will be one of the better decisions, I feel like, the front office, other than he'll bring Micah Parsons in, but bring another Cowboys player into this fold and finding a way to take from that horrible Cowboys defense and plug them into a defense and have success.
Mason, speaking of the front office, I got to know, you've got the temperature as well as anyone up there. Is Matt LaFleur's job on the line if he loses this game?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was figuring that was kind of, we've been talking about that all week. You know, Schefter came out and had some comments. Florio, I think, was on The Score, one of y'all's station, one of y'all's shows.
It was us.
Morning show, yeah.
That was yours. Okay, yeah, exactly. So, you know, there's been a lot of speculation, I was curious about why in the world are head coaches in this space where they can't go into their last year of their contract. Like, everyone wants to give them an extension and have them locked in. Like, players go in the last year and there's an expectation to go out and ball so that you get a really good deal, right? So it's weird to think that the only options are either fire LaFleur or extend him whenever he still has a year left on his deal. So I'm putting that out there, that's strange to me. But, you know, this game, I think, for the Packers, there's a lot, not pressure necessarily, but there's a lot on the line here. I think they need to go out there and show well, be competitive, kind of show and play at a level that is consistent with, you know, what the expectation is of a head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And if they go out there and lay an egg and don't do well, I think there's going to be some decisions that have to be made. I think the structure there in Green Bay is going to shift with Ed Policy. It looks like the GM is going to have kind of a little bit more say. So I wouldn't be surprised if, if they decide on Goody first, try to get an extension done there, or what they're going to do at general manager, and then kind of have that decision be under the general manager of, is LaFleur our guy for, you know, 3 or 4 years to come, or are we going to shift focus? So I do think this game, in regards to what the next 3 or 4 years for this Green Bay Packer organization is really important, just because they haven't won a playoff game in there in Green Bay in, what, 5 years now? Didn't make the playoffs in 22, been the 7th seed now for 3 years, which is good getting in the playoffs, but I think the pressure's on to go out and have some success in the playoffs and show that this organization's taking a step in the right direction.
Wow. That's a cliffhanger, Mason Crosby. We appreciate you coming back on with us and also talking playoffs. This has been fun as usual.
That's right. Well, hey, this is the Packers-Bears. There has to be some drama, and you got to get those storylines set up, because there's no better rivalry and no better matchup than this game on Saturday night in Wild Card Weekend. I cannot wait for this one. Really appreciate y'all having me on.
Amen, Mason.
Thanks, buddy. Mason. Happy playoffs to you. That's Mason Crosby, the kicker for the Packers from 2007 to 2022. Host of the Mason Crosby Show weekdays from noon to 2 on 105.7 The Fan in Milwaukee. Hey, look at that. We got some calls on this Mark Grody birthday show, playoff edition of the show.
I'm honored.
Show. How many times can Bears. I say show?
I'm Bears. Sure they're calling for you, show. Grody.
Bears.
Let's do it, man. Yes. Celebrate the playoffs. Vet. I don't know. It's that kind of day. Meatball day. Let's do it. 312-644-6767. Do you appreciate the Bears in the playoffs? Do you want more? More! You can do it all next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, middays 10 to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score. It's the Mark Grody birthday show. And we have fruit for Mark Grody's birthday. And I said to the guys, your life gets a lot easier when you choose to like cantaloupe. It's always there. You never have to worry about everybody taking it. You're not disappointed because you like cantaloupe.
Doesn't honeydew fall in the same category?
Not quite.
Yes, I think it does.
I definitely think it does.
Really?
So like, my decision to like cantaloupe, I'm like, jackpot. I can have all the cantaloupe I want.
When you have assorted fruits and you go to the fruit Let me tell you something. Yeah. Never have I been like, let me get more of that cantaloupe. Let me get more of that honeydew.
I did it today.
Strawberries are available. Grapes are available. I could just, pineapple.
Right,
what?
What's the number? Okay, so
my siblings would tell me I'm 100% turning into my dad, by the way, because my dad would do the same thing, like prevent disappointment by choosing cantaloupe. Yeah.
So what's the best in there? There's the kiwi, the blueberries, the pineapple, I would say, would be the top.
Pineapple's
three.
Top.
The top for you, yeah.
Wow, we all have varying thoughts.
Mm. What did you say was the top?
Well, no, I think the kiwi is the top. I think that the pineapple would go number two. No, blueberries two, and the pineapple three.
Okay. Love a tart blueberry.
Oh, I don't like it tart. I don't like it too tart.
I do.
Okay.
Painfully tart. Let's get to our phones. 312-644-6767 on this playoff football Friday. We start with Anthony in D.C. Hey, Anthony.
Hey, what's
Anthony.
Up, gang? Grody, Happy New Year to you. You're going to get a birthday present tomorrow.
Oh, I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Anthony.
I'm going to get right into it. Other than, I think the Pampers, they ride in the history of Rodgers and Favre. I don't know why their head is so big. We got the number one pick. We got Ben Johnson. It's an even playing field. Things fluctuate in the league, and when they do good and Love does good, everybody rides the coattail. When we do good and Caleb does good, it's like, oh, well, I don't know. We got to see if that was really real or not. Love and the Packers have not done anything but lose. They've won a couple games. They've had some success and things like that. Love is serviceable. He's above average, I'm not going to lie. But they're not out of our class or anything. It's the new Bears, man. We're going to show why Caleb is the number one pick, why Ben Johnson was the number one touted coach. We're going to show that, okay, we got some things on defense we need to work, but heart is going to come into this game. Let's go Bears.
Bears. Hey, man, I love that concept, that heart is going to come into it. He's also right in that, and we just talked about this with Mason Crosby. It's not like there's a huge discernible edge for either team in this game.
I mean, Jordan Love did have...
Got to get that mic on. There you go.
No, I don't. Jordan Love did have 234 yards and 3 touchdowns in the first game.
Yes, he did.
That's not, and I say that not to necessarily cheer for him, but to respect the opponent on the other side so you can game plan for him.
Also explosive play after explosive play in that game, and Jordan Love did not. Malik Willis was the quarterback for the majority of the December 20th game, and Malik Willis looked really good too, unfortunately, against the Bears.
And this is not to be like, oh, they're so good. It's to say you'd better respect the opponent on the other side.
They have advantages.
We go to Toby in Portland next. Toby, you're on Raheem Harris and Grody.
Hey, guys. How are you?
How are you?
Toby.
Oh, I'm
great, Toby.
Toby.
Thanks for asking.
I am all fired up.
Okay.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Thanks, Toby.
I think it is your civic duty to use your birthday wish. That's
Bears.
All I'll say.
Okay. I will.
Bears.
You know exactly what I'll do with that. I will do that for the people, and I will do that for you, Toby, and for the people of Portland.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
Hope you're okay out there.
I am. I'm thriving. This is where I belong, but I am of Chicago.
Yes, you
and,
are.
Yes, sir. So I think, you know, I have a tendency to oversimplify things. We're having the macro and micro debate here, are we not?
Were we doing macro, micro?
I don't think we were.
We got to expand.
Day of the
Wait
week
a minute.
Do you think this is Toby?
Actually
Toby, Saturday?
That's right after five on it, I think. Micro, I macro,
know.
Isn't
well,
it? Yeah, yeah.
But I think also one of the biggest factors in that, and it's apropos, is your age, right? Like, I think if you're younger, you can look at it and say, hey, you know, the future is bright. But if you're old or middle-aged, I lump myself into the second category. We're ready for it.
I'll tell you
also,
this. I'll tell you this, Toby. I am the age of my – today, I am the age of my favorite Bears player ever. If you could figure that out, you'll know my age. Thanks, Toby. Toby, you're the best. Thanks for call. I heard you call Saturday Suckage the other day. You're a beautiful man. Thanks for checking in on Raheem Harris and Grody, buddy. Thank you.
Yes, have a wonderful day.
Love you, Toby.
Aww.
Take care, buddy.
I still didn't understand what the macro micro was. That he
I don't
was
know. We're doing
to.
That. We're doing it at 12:25. You better be ready for it.
I felt like it was a bit Saturday Suckage type vibe.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this sucks.
Yes. Yes. Toby has been calling Saturday mornings for 2 decades, basically. When Rosenblum and I started doing Saturday Suckage years and years ago, Toby was a regular participant, I'll just say.
And it's early, you know. It's only 8:54 out there on the West Coast, so good for Toby for calling in.
Yeah, shout out to Toby. He's the goods.
There are a lot of aspects of the game that we need to examine. I think a lot of what Ben Johnson had to say was really valid, and I know just the guy to talk about it with. Adam Hogue joins us next. Hogue of the Hogue and Johns podcast, CHGO's own. He will join us next on this Mark Grody Birthday Show edition of Raheem Harrison Grody on 670 The Score.